Okay, so now I want to turn to podcasting. Now, podcasting is the ability to deliver audio, like audio or certain kind of media files, to users using RSS feeds. So they don't, you don't have to use email, you know, whatever they use, Google, Yahoo, or they use an RSS reader or iTunes. They can get your audio on demand, put it on their iPods, as podcasting kind of implies, and go work out, listening to whatever you have to offer, or on any MP3 player. So it's meant for MP3 players, but also in RSS and blogging and blog readers and things like that, it's used a lot. So, well, if you don't create audio files, how can you take advantage of podcasting? There is a way to do it. Now, first, let me tell you generically what happens even in the audio world. You create some kind of audio, like even what I'm doing now can be exported as an MP3. I don't have to include the video with it. People can just listen to me, as some of you do. You can go add that MP3 to your iPod, what have you, download it to your iPod, and then you can go have it away from your computer. Now, the other automated way is that I can turn my MP3 or put it in some kind of feed. Like, you know, if I upload it to my blog, that automatically does it. Like at WordPress or Blogger, upload an MP3, it automatically places in the feed, and then give this feed to iTunes, and iTunes will even publish my podcast. I'll show you this a little later. And then other people can just download my audios as they're available. Okay, that's one way. So if you don't have audio, though, you really don't have podcasts, or if you don't have some kind of media file until now, because what you can do, and this gives you unlimited amount of podcasts. Now, it doesn't replace the spoken word. It won't replace Jermaine's words or your words. But what it will do is that it'll convert any text to audio. So you can use like a site like feedtopodcast.com. And it'll convert any blog post to audio. A human voice will read your blog post in an MP3 player. Now, I can give you an idea how this is. Here's Feed to Podcast right here. Now, I can put in, now I already have a blog, right? I can put in my blog RSS feed, because my RSS feed will include all of my latest blog posts. And I can go blog.hearandplay.com/feed, because that's what my blog feed is. Everybody, when you go to Blogger, I know it's terminology that doesn't sound like you understand it, but you go to Blogger, you'll automatically have a blog feed. Every time you create a new blog, it's put in this little, I guess, feed, XML, all that technological stuff I don't understand or care to understand. But it's there, and you'll get a feed just like me. So you put that feed in here, and let's see it turn my blog into a voice. So here we go. Look, it made a player. The ABCs to Playing Piano by Ear for starters. How cool, right? And so it has my actual content here, all my latest blog posts, but they're turning to audio. I can click play.
The goal of this session is to start you off the right way by learning the basics and fundamentals like major scales, intervals, triads, and other concepts. The basics, 12 unique notes and an octave repeated over and over, half steps versus whole steps. Make your blog into a podcast like this.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, you can use female voices and things like that, but imagine for some of my blind members, they can go here, convert my audio, and this is what you call like a widget. I can also put this widget on my site so they can people can listen anywhere. This is a widget, and we'll talk about widget creation, you being the type of person that provides a tool like this, because this can get you out there. For Feed to Podcast, this is perfect because I'm advertising them, right? And I'm getting something out of it, obviously, because now people can listen to my blog post. But now my blog is now audio. So anything I can do with audio, any directory, any podcast directories, I can submit my blog post to, or this particular feed. I can submit this to iTunes. My blog can be in iTunes overnight. You know, so I can submit this to Google Podcasts. We'll talk about more of this in my slides. So go to feedtopodcast.com, get that, and get your audio feed, because it'll convert it for you. Submit your new podcast feeds to directories, iTunes. I've talked a little bit about that. For example, Podcasting News, podcast.net, podcast.yahoo.com. Google gives you a whole directory of podcast directories. So all of these, podcast directory, podcast pickle, podcast alley, podcast directory. And of course, you know, look at their ratings, their Alexa, and see if they're worthwhile. But see, this is that kind of stuff that if you are paying people overseas like $50, or, you know, if you get some really good people overseas where your money can go a long way in whatever country, and it's repetitive stuff like this where there doesn't need to be a certain specialized kind of knowledge, as long as you train people how to do it, you make nice videos for them showing them how to do it. See, this is that kind of stuff that won't hurt. It can get you out there. And notice I haven't mentioned any dollar signs yet. So think about this stuff and get the people to do it for you. You know, as the CEO of your business, as the mastermind, you need to be knowledgeable about this stuff, like I'm showing you here, but you need not do it, or you need not be the one pulling up your sleeves if you don't want to. You're getting the knowledge from me, but get somebody overseas, take the risk, take the jump, and get people to do this for you and send you back reports saying what sites they've submitted you to, when they've done this. So, I mean, it can go a long way for you, and it can put you out there on all your podcasts when maybe in the past you're like, I don't have a podcast. Well, worst case scenario, you can get somebody to read your blog post. And you're like, what about my articles? Well, convert your articles into your blog, or create a blog just for your articles, a separate blog, and then put that blog feed in here, and then let it turn it into a podcast, and then submit to these directories down here. Beautiful thing. And then here's another place. These are 80 places for you to submit your blog posts. Came across this article, great article, and it gives you top 80. Okay, Podanza, Podblaster, YouLord, and you just keep going, and it's 19 pages worth. Okay, so I have the link here. Let's go back to it. It's www.masternewmedia.org/podcast_directory, and go there, and there's another place. So you assemble all these places for people to post and get people to do it for you. Now, before I leave, let me show you an example of my podcast in iTunes. Now, this isn't the feed to podcast, because I actually have tons of content out there. I have tons of MP3s from teleseminars I've done over the phone, consultations. So I'm using real MP3s. And when I run out of MP3s, I'm taking my blog posts, converting them into it as well. But, you know, I'm a content guy, as you guys probably know. I can whip out my microphone and come up with some content. I'm a studier, a researcher. I'm a thinker. So I never have a problem with content. If I did, I'd have a place to go to right here. And even if I, you know, just want to accompany my actual MP3s with written words for maybe my members who can't read, my blog posts for, you know, being blind, I get a lot of that. Stevie Wonder, come on, he plays by ear, but he can't see. You know, and there's a lot of people like him that play the piano in the same manner that look up to him and come to my site just to learn more. So let's go to iTunes really quickly. Now, iTunes, you're probably familiar. My wife loves it. She buys all kinds of music. But they have a podcast section, okay? You see that, right? They have a radio section, movies, but they have a podcast section. And I can search, like, piano by ear. And, you know, it's searching right now. And look, I appear. Now, this guy appears, one of my competitors. He appears as well. But I appear right here. So when a normal person just comes to, you know, look for podcasts or what have you, anything, music, you know, I haven't done this, but if I appear for piano, I'm going to kick myself because I'm like, wow. But let's see. I'm sure somebody's more popular than me in that regard. See, there's other people here, but they can also go see y'all if they don't, you know, like the two that are here. And once they can look at all the podcasts. Now, these are more piano players rather than teachers, but there I am. And I'm not that far away, because it really goes this way, then this way, then this way. I mean, I'm actually, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8? When people type in just the blank word piano, okay? You type in piano lessons, let's see. And this is all within iTunes, millions of users. Okay, piano lessons. Okay, there's another guy, but he's the Mario Brothers guy. He's pretty popular. And I can go here. But the idea is, and we can go to see piano by ear. Not only does it post you here, but then in this directory down here, and let's actually let it search for us. Okay, here I am. But it also puts me down here too. See, Jermaine Griggs, Secrets to Playing Piano by Ear. You see that? And if we sort by popularity, I'm number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And I've been number one before. All I got to do is send an email out to my list. So everybody go to iTunes, type Piano by Ear and search for me and click on me. And I can boost myself up as well. And then some people actually charge $1.99. So this is a whole nother world. Now, what I'm saying is if you go take your, now if you're in audio and you have interviews, you have teleseminars, get them on there. You know, you can submit to, you just type in Google, submit podcast to iTunes, and you can get the form on Apple.com, submit it, give it your feed, because your blog will basically handle all of this for you, especially if you have a WordPress blog, because they have it built in where you can upload MP3 files, automatically adds it to the feed, the RSS feed that basically tells all the readers and blog readers and podcast directories out there what your latest posts are. Give that to iTunes and you're all set to go. So that's podcasting. Next, you can submit your content, products, and resources to Google Base. Now, many people don't know about Google Base. Okay? Basically, what Google Base does, simply describe your items on Google Base to make them as easy as possible for people to find when they search. You don't even need a website to put your stuff online. So it's a place for people to submit content. My grandma can come on, and they're really big in recipes. My grandma can come on, and she just wants to share recipes with the world. She can put her recipes on Google Base, and now it's searchable by Google. So imagine doubling up, putting your content also in Google Base, or putting your products in Google Base. Any kind of content. It's so generic. They just say content. Anything. Events and activities. Products. Reviews. Recipes. Services. Vehicles. Housing. Jobs. Personal. Photographs. Baseball cards. Sermons. Video games. These are common things that are submitted to Google Base. Okay, so you submit there. It's searchable. One key thing, and I can show you a Google screenshot. And here's some things. Here's the front page. Here's how to post an item. See, you can create your own item type, and then you know everything on Google is very easy. Edit, like if somebody had a recipe, like my grandma, main ingredients chicken, cuisine, cooking time. It makes it easy, and they have certain categories that are already set up, like for accepting recipes or accepting how to do this, how to do that. Item preview page. So it makes a website for somebody with their content on it, and Google loves it because Google created it. Okay, it's free, right? Let me read to you what it says. Google Base is a place where you can easily, and that's a key word of Web 2.0, submit all types of online and offline content, which will make searchable on Google. If your content isn't online yet, we'll put it there. You can describe any item you post with attributes. These are kind of like the tags I talked about with folksonomies, which will help people find it when they do related searches. In fact, based on your item's relevance, users may find them in their results searches for Google product search, Google Maps, and even our main Google website from Google's mouth. So get all your stuff on Google Base. But you know what? It even goes a step further, because if you got a good programmer, we can click on API. Now, Eunice in Teleseminar 1 talked about API. Sites like Google and big services will release APIs for developers to further customize and extend the functionality of this. So in terms of Google Base, now I am no techie, but these are other sites that have used Google Base, Junk Depot, you know. So Junk Depot takes stuff from Junk Depot and automatically puts it in Google Base. Obviously, Google wants the content. They want to rule the world. Junk Depot gets the automation of taking things that people submit on Junk Depot, put it in Google Base for the publicity. Same thing, you know, Honda certified cars. So you can actually have a programmer somehow take stuff from your community that's automatically submitted. You don't need to know how, why, when, where, and automatically have it posted to Google Base. Since Google Base is just all about putting anything in Google Base, they don't even give you any limitations. I'm sure it has to be legal, right? And moral, but you can just put anything from recipes to notes to car stuff to articles to anything that, you know, and this is really made for people like my grandma who may not even have a website. With Web 2.0, there's no reason why nobody shouldn't have one. Blogs, MySpace, profiles and stuff. But let's just say somebody didn't. They can come on and share their information with the world. Now, if you have a website, you already have the information. You just duplicate it on the Google Base and you're not you know, penalized or anything, because Google is encouraging you to do this, even with your programmers and stuff. So get your stuff on Google Base so it'll be indexed. So when people actually type in certain things in Google, you know, like let's go to Google Base again and let me type in, you know, I need some chicken recipes, right? Why buy another chicken book again? And see how it's coming up in recipes. I can sort by relevance when it's been, you know, and some of these have prices. A lot of them are. And I bet you they're straight from these websites, you know, through a programmer put on Google Base. Some of them don't have, you know, prices. So get on Google Base, explore it, find more about it, and then automate it. Get people to do it for you, or get some kind of programmer to take information from your site and put it on Google Base. And this is one of those things not a lot of people know about. So you mentioned Google Base to a seminar crowd, and I'd be like, huh? What are you talking about? Because this is stuff on the cutting edge. When you study Web 2.0, you will know it. Another thing, if you have a blog, like we've been talking about, you know how to turn your blog into audio. You know how to get that audio on iTunes. You know how to use Google Base to also put your blog topics in to the Google Base search engine. Now, if you're not using Google's blog search ping to pretty much add your blog to their blog database directory and pinging it so that they can automatically get your new blog topics updated on Google right away, and you need to be using that. I can click on Google's blog and I can type in something, you know, my blog address. I've already added my blog here. So if I go like piano by ear or something like that, you know, we can find all of the blog topics. Now, I haven't written in my blog in a long time. You know, if I type, so it won't be there for that particular one. But no, actually, we can just look at some of my competitors. Here they are, their blogs. Now, they've written, see, August 22nd. I haven't written in my piano blog in a while. I write in my marketing blog and some other things, but my affiliates actually do it. Learning piano by ear, good or bad? Well, that one doesn't work. Let's see. Have you seen this new article? Now, this is something from Lady D showing up in Google blog. Now, notice, where do you think this goes? Hearandplay.com. Now, Lady D should have hyperlinked that, but, you know, maybe she doesn't know any better. But, see, it doesn't even take me to have content. Let's see. Other people learn how to play by ear easily. I bet you this comes to my site. I don't mean to brag, but I just control the play by ear arena. Okay, let's see. Chords, voicings. I don't know. Maybe this is a real person trying to teach piano by ear. But I generally get a good amount of people to link to me in their blogs and stuff. And this is piano by ear. We can go on the second page and stuff. I don't know. What is this one about? Play piano by ear. I hate these ads that come up. And I don't know. These are just filler ones. So you got to find the right ones. Maybe if I type in like piano lessons. So you hear people popping up, competitors, you know. So get your blogs on this too, so that people can search them in Google Base. So when I start updating my blog more, then I can definitely get it on there. But for now, my affiliates will do it for me. I mean, just to give you an idea how many affiliates have their blogs, and from, you know, albeit blogger.com or whatever, but all of these are people that have used Hear and Play in their blogs. Pages. Secrets to Playing Piano by Ear. Okay? So we get that traffic either way, whether we write it or they write it. Press releases are very important. The top ones I prefer, PR Web, Market Wire, and Business Wire. You can actually go to PR Web. You can have a press release sent out to, you know, hundreds of news places, news sources within hours, ultimately a day. And you sign up for an account, you upload your release, and you submit it. And it's accessed by tons of news sites, and you can get a lot of traffic, and you can get some links from a lot of authority sites out there. So you definitely want to consider press releases. And I would start with PR Web. Now, before you do it, you need to be doing what's in it for me. And me is not you. Me is them. Okay. People are looking for newsworthy stories to fill up, you know, their magazines, their newspapers and things like that. So it can't come across. They're not looking to make you a lot of sales. So you need to tie it to current events, maybe. You know, for me, it's like, you know, why Britney Spears should give it up and learn piano, you know, or, you know, something like that. Whatever's hot in the news, you can use those kind of things. Current events, you can use, you know, a new product announcement. Maybe that'll help a certain sect of their newspaper group in their entertainment section or something like that. So you want to go out there first and research how to write press releases before you do one, because that same $200-$300, I believe you can even get started for around $100 on PR Web, can take you a long way if you're writing the right kind of press release in the right format and things like that. So if you take a few hours to get some templates and fill in the blanks and kind of get yours formulated like some that have been very successful on PR Web, then you can really do well with press releases, which is a form of offline advertisement, and you'll find a lot of online people linking to you as well and linking to your stories. The next thing I want to share with you is how to create and submit a widget. Now, at this.com, that was a form of a widget. Remember, I took you there? Let's see. That was that little widget that you can add to your site, and then it allows people to easily bookmark you. This is a widget. Yeah, at the end of the day, it provides a valuable service to me, but it also puts AtThis.com out there, you know, because other websites are going to want to, they're going to say, how did Jermaine, you know, add that little widget to his site that allowed people to bookmark him? Hey, maybe I should add that to my site. And it grows virally because it's something that's very valuable to that group of people. So what are widgets? Widgets are little online gadgets like that, tools, services, you know, even things that give you updated weather, sports scores, calculators, games, converters, convert miles to feet, I don't know, things that can be added to major portals and websites. For example, Google homepage, you can add a number of widgets to your Google homepage. If you're into news, you can add a news widget. If you want to see the weather, you can add a weather widget. If you're into only hockey scores, you can add hockey scores. In fact, you can add scores from particular teams. In fact, you can go to get NBA widgets that people have created out there to only get, you know, stats of particular players on a particular team, how many free throws they made. You know, there's all kinds of little widgets that genuinely help people when they want to add them to their sites or to their home pages or their portals. You know, they've used Yahoo, My Yahoo, or My Google, you know, things like that. You can add these little widgets. Okay, that's for the user end of it. But you, if you find a type of resource or tool that you can release as a widget, of course you get the credit as being the one that created it. You get publicity as people use it more and more, and as it propagates out there on the web, especially if it's a tool for webmasters, because they'll use it because it helps them in some way, just like the AtThis.com. Another widget was that feed to podcast. Remember when I changed my blog into audio, it gave me that little code I could put on my site to actually let people listen to my blog. Not only, you know, do I submit it to all the pod directories, but that widget in physical form is something I could put in my blog, or I could put on my homepage, I can put in my community, and other people can click and listen to my blog if they didn't feel like reading or something. Yeah, it has a mechanical male or female voice, and there's ones that are getting a lot better. That's just one example. But that's a widget, and the more I put it out there, the more people see that particular widget, and if they have a site, they'll add it to their site, so it grows virally. Now, how can you be the provider of a widget? How can you be on the other side so that, you know, your site gets out there in this form as well? And then once you have a widget, so anybody can create your widget. In fact, a lot of these sites I'm going to mention, they have sections on how to create widgets. They release API, you know, this is a programmer checky thing, but you give it the right programmer and you say, I need a widget created for this. There's programmers out there, tons of them, on Rent-A-Quarter already, on some of these freelance networks that already create widgets. They're serial widget creators. You just got to tell them what specifically you want this widget to be able to do, what sites you want it to be able to work with. Some people create widgets specifically for, you know, Google Homes or Yahoo, My Yahoo, or things like that. Or some people create widespread widgets that can be put on people's websites or MySpace profiles, things like that. So create a widget, and then you submit it to sites like Google's widget directory, which I'll click on just briefly. Notice these are all little widgets. Joke of the day, quote of the day, daily horoscope, dictionary widget, word of the day, Pac-Man. People can play Pac-Man right on your site, you know, or your MySpace profile. So see how it gets out there, because then once people add the widget, whoever created that widget is probably indefinitely going to have an advertisement on their widget. So, you know, if people are interested, they click, they add the widget, and it's a viral thing. So add your widget there. And then, you know, you can add it to Yahoo's widget directory. These are some of the widgets out there. A lot of gaming widgets. And you can add it to Widgetbox, which is another one. Okay, so that is the world of widget creation. Next, you can trade opt-ins. Now, this is called co-registration. If you're into marketing or have been, you've probably heard that word before. Basically, what you do, you go to sites that do not directly compete with you. You offer to place an added checkbox on your opt-in form in exchange for an added opt-in checkbox on their opt-in form. So basically, you have people sign up for your community or sign up for your mailing list, signing up for your site. They're already putting in their first name and email address. You add a checkbox. Let's say for me, I'm teaching piano. Let's say I didn't want to get into guitar or things like that. I can say, I can add a checkbox to the bottom of my form. Click here if you also want to receive a playing guitar by ear newsletter by, you know, weplayguitar.com. Okay, and at the same time, We Play Guitar, when people are signing up for their opt-in list, they're adding a checkbox to their form and saying, hey, you want to play piano by ear as well? Sign up for the Hear and Play Piano newsletter by checking this box. And, of course, you want things to be pretty equal. You don't want to be sending 100 opt-ins a day to them, and they're only sending you 10 opt-ins a day. So it has to be a site with a good Alexa ranking, if you will, you know, good page rank, good traffic. And you guys basically exchange opt-ins. Now, you can do this. I know at Marketing Sherpa, they do this. I'm going to give you an example of it. Now, this is after I've already signed up on their front page. I saved the link. So I've already signed up for their opt-in. I've already given them my information. They say, thank you for subscribing. See, this is another way to do it. Maybe not the checkbox right when they're subscribing. Maybe on a thank you page. You're also invited to take advantage of the following free offers. Okay, so you got their store. That's not really co-reg. But this, eMarketer, sign up for their eMarketer daily. eMedia Connection, check this checkbox. Sign up for their newsletter. Marketing Experiments Journal, sign up for their newsletter. You know, One-to-One Weekly. So, I mean, they give a lot. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I mean, tons. And then you just, or you can go no thanks or whatnot. See? So, and it says powered by CoReg Complete. Now, I should click there and see how that works, but check them out. But this is an idea of co-registration. And the thing is, eMarketer, I bet you, is doing the same thing for Marketing Sherpa. Now, either people pay to be here or it's a co-reg thing. And my guess is that this one, you know, because of the clue down here, but, you know, some people can even pay to be here. If there's no equal exchange, if iMedia can't send as many people to Marketing Sherpa as Marketing Sherpa can send to them, maybe iMedia will just flat out just pay to be here. But I bet you if I go to eMarketer, let me open a new window, and we go to eMarketer.com, and let's see, click on their free newsletter. Let me enter one of my email addresses, and we go, you know, put in this little code. Let's see if they offer us Marketing Sherpa, and you better believe it. See, on Marketing Sherpa's page, eMarketer was given opportunity. When I went to eMarketer, and I may not have any knowledge of Marketing Sherpa, now I'm given opportunity. And then I see iMedia Connection. So a lot of these guys are like in the same camp. Probably a lot of them are owned by the same folks as well. But that's an idea of co-registration. So what you should be doing is making a list of potential sites that you can do this with. It's a win-win situation. It's a what's in it for them and a what's in it for you, because if you can prove to them that, hey, you're already getting this amount of leads per day, worst case scenario, maybe you have to pay in the beginning to be there. Or maybe you can offer them not only co-registration, but anybody that signs up for your mailing list, through their site, they can put their cookie on that particular machine. Like, they become an affiliate of you and put their affiliate cookie on that person's machine. So if that person buys anything as a result of joining the mailing list through their site, as they did, then they can get commission on the back end as well as the benefit of doing co-registration with you on the front end. So there's many ways to make this work, but you need to be aware that there is a big opportunity out there. And if you go to my site, I have several checkboxes. Some of them are my own newsletters. Some of them are, information that I pass on to other people that pass information on to me or their particular newsletters that people can sign up for. So notice here at the bottom, and this is my audio playing, at the bottom, you know, you got beginner newsletter. These are mine. And then I have other ones, MIDI, ear training, special offers and promotions. So same idea, but if I wanted to go even further, I just go to other sites and physically we trade, and I put that site's logo down there as long as it's not competitive, and just add a checkbox. I already have 7. I mean, I can replace one, or, you know, I'll probably just add an 8th one. It's not that hard to do there. So acknowledge the power of that.